From NPR News in Washington, I'm Paul Brown. Haiti's government says it plans to relocate hundreds of thousands of earthquake survivors from squalid encampments in streets and alleys to temporary shelter outside Port-au-Prince. Food and water are now arriving in Haiti, but NPR's Jason Beaubien reports the demand greatly outstrips the supply, and the waiting time is very long.
Clearly, thousands of people are waiting in this line. I've talked to some people who have come through the line, and they said it took two and a half hours to get all the way to the front, but they got there. They were some of the first people to get into line. At this point, people that are joining the line, I have no idea how long it's going to take them to get to the front.
That's NPR's Jason Beaubien outside the presidential palace in Port-au-Prince, Haiti. Political consultants and campaign finance lawyers say the Supreme Court's decision on campaign financing will bring big changes to American politics. NPR's Peter Overby reports.
The court ruled that corporations and unions can spend unlimited sums to promote or attack candidates. It was a 5-4 decision. Campaign finance lawyer Ken Gross in Washington said his corporate clients are not eager to get involved. They see it as too risky and too expensive. But Larry Norton, also a campaign finance attorney, says the decision could quickly throw the political system out of balance. He says candidates will still be constrained by contribution limits on the money they raise.
But they will compete to get their voice heard and to control the message in the election with large corporations that will be able to spend unlimited sums on election ads.
Peter Overby, NPR News, Washington.
President Obama pledged Guantanamo Bay prison would be closed by today, but there are currently about 200 men at the prison camp. The White House says it does not know when the detention center will be empty. NPR's Ari Shapiro reports there are numerous reasons.
Obama administration officials thought the promise to close Guantanamo would be uncontroversial. Republican presidential nominee John McCain and President Bush both wanted to close the prison, but members of Congress pushed back, saying they didn't want terrorists in the United States. Administration officials were surprised to discover that detainees' records were scattered across various government agencies, and it took months just to get the files in order. It also took a long time for the administration to find a site in the United States to house detainees. The White House eventually settled on a prison in Illinois. Right now, about half the men at Guantanamo are from Yemen, and the Obama administration has decided it is no longer safe to transfer Guantanamo detainees home to Yemen. White House spokesman Robert Gibbs said yesterday the president still intends to keep his promise. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, Washington.
President Obama is in Ohio today talking about jobs and education. He's holding a town meeting at a community college. Stocks are down. The Dow Industrial's down 40 points. The Nasdaq Composite down 13. This is NPR News. A jury of 8 men and 6 women begins hearing evidence today in the trial of a man accused of shooting a Kansas abortion provider. Scott Roeder is charged with first-degree murder. NPR's Kathy Lohr is in Wichita for the start of the trial.
Roeder is accused of killing George Tiller at his church last May. Tiller was a doctor who provided abortions later in pregnancy. Abortion protesters demonstrated outside his clinic regularly for years. Jurors answered questions about their feelings on abortion and about whether they knew Tiller in closed court. Judge Warren Wilbert says the trial will not be about abortion, but activists on both sides say it could turn into just that. Roeder admitted killing Tiller, but says he did it to protect unborn children. Defense attorneys have said they want to introduce evidence that could lead to a lesser voluntary manslaughter charge. The judge says he'll decide on a case-by-case basis what evidence he will allow. Kathy Lohr, NPR News, Wichita.
NPR has learned that 2/3 of the people in U.S. jails are nonviolent offenders who are there simply because they cannot afford bail. NPR finds that housing them alone costs taxpayers $9 billion per year, and our correspondent reports that while 20 years ago most defendants were released on their own recognizance, now most are given bail and must pay bail bondsmen to afford it. A parole official in Texas tells NPR the bail bond industry does not want the system changed so that no paying customers slip through, even if thousands of people who can't afford bond languish in jail. And a bond manager in Texas says his business is cutthroat and he sees no place for even a modest pretrial release program. I'm Paul Brown in Washington.